My name is John Edward Thrussell. I was born in this village in May the 31st, 1885. I still live in the house in which I was born. All my life, I have been in close contact with the people of the village and have had very close connection with them and their ways. You go on with it?
Yes, I'm just going through.
Let us go back to 1890. It's early morning, springtime. There has been a sharp frost. Snow has lain for some time, but that is gone, and the leaves are beginning to show themselves. This morning, the road is hard through frost. What is that patter of footsteps that we hear? It's unusual. The men are gone to work. 6 o'clock is their time, and it's 7 now. Listen, day to day is Valentine. There are no grapes upon the vine. There will be some in summer time. So please, will you give us a Valentine? Of course, this is the 14th. We might have known. They are off to the big houses surrounding the village. Very little to be had in the village. Shillington Bury, down the driftway. Purton Hall, Rectory Manor. I'd have to get back for school. Maybe they'll get threepence, but that'll be an enormous lot to them. When a halfpenny a week is big pocket money. Do you notice the houses? This one is a thatched one. Wattle and daub walls, maybe 3 inches thick, not more. Plastered inside. Diamond pane windows with shutters. They need it. The wind blows through those panes as they fit so badly. At the other end is a pigsty, and beyond that, a hen house. Wood is the chief construction, but one side of the hen house is willow herb. Dried stalks being interwoven in wood frame. Inside the house there's a fire just flickering. No one's about yet. Father lit that fire before he went to work to warm himself some drink. How here comes Mother, she's stirring it up. With the light of the fire, you can see there's a hearth rug, homemade one, made from pieces of cloth, pushed into an old bag. Front door, that has a straw mat, a coil of straw, wound round and round, homemade one too. The furniture, a plain wooden table, scrubbed clean. One or two chairs, and a stool or two. See, she's taken the frying pan. She's going to warm some food for the children's breakfast. This morning, it's potatoes from yesterday. She'll put a piece of fat and fry them. Sometimes the father will put some potatoes in the oven and they will have baked potatoes. The children, they'll see that their boots are clean, not polished, but freed from the mud. The roads outside by this time are covered with mud, for it's thawed. Mud to an inch in depth, known as sludder. Woe betide the child if he drops a penny in it, or if he's going shopping and drops his mother's money. Can't find it. If he falls over or is accidentally knocked over, the only thing to do is to scrape him with a knife. And very few boys have a knife, but they will always help one another and do it. Let us go along the road. Here comes a row of ducks. They're going to the pond. They've done their work, laid their eggs, and are let out. And they've been trained to go to the pond. They'll follow one another. Can you hear that noise? That's a thrashing machine coming along. And there's something else. Behind it is a wagon with two horses loaded with corn and two carts. They are going to the mill with the corn. Notice the long whip of the driver. Not to whip the horses, but just crack it to encourage them when the road is hard or they get in a rut. Notice too, in front of the wheel is a large iron box. That's a slide to put down when they go downhill to ease the horses. And at the back of the wheel, you'll see a roller running along the road just behind it. That's if anything should break. It will stop the wagon from running backwards downhill. Hello, here comes old Jim. He has his barrow, his beetle and wedges. He's going docking. The farmers allow them to get the wood called the dock from a tree when it is fallen. Most of them let them have it free. Here and there, a farmer who's a titan, he wants 1/3 of the wood. But they are up to him. They'll put the little pieces at the bottom of one heap and big pieces at the top and vice versa the other two. They know which the farmer will take. That wood is sold 6 pence a barrow load. He may get 3 barrow loads. That means 1 and 6. He's too weak to and too subject to bronchitis to work all the week, and there's more labour than is needed. So if he can get enough to keep him off the parish, that's a good thing to him, for that is the most hated thing in the village. Here come some of the poor old craters. They're going to collect their money. Look at their faces. They know they won't be spoken kindly to, for the relieving officer is one of the hardest old nails you come across. If he knows they do enough work to earn threepence, he will stop their allowance. The mothers take the babies to him to be registered. His registration officer, too. Very sharp does he speak to them and frightens them. See that woman with her umbrella and basket? That's the medicine woman. Her job is to go to Hitchin 2 or 3 times a week and collect the medicine from the doctors. Notice she has pattens. That's to keep her out of the dirt. And she'll walk to Hitchin and back without a splash. There's the baker delivering the bread. And here comes the old people with their half a crown each, half a crown to live on for the week. Well, can you hear that music? Ah, that's the German band. Very good band too, and very rarely does a band come. Quite a lot of people listen. They may pick up fourpence or fivepence. Where they come from, no one ever knows. And which way they go, no one knows. But it's getting toward dinner time. Let's see what they're getting for dinner in this house. The mother cuts a piece of pickled pork from the pickling tub, and a much larger heap of potatoes, may have a bit of onion, and parsley, puts them all on a board, chops them up very finely, turns them over as one would making cement. She then has some flour from her gleaning, some that she has bought, and makes pastry. She knows how much to make 2 dumplings, one for herself, one for her husband, but she'll make a bit more. There's a reason for that. After rolling the pastry, putting it around, making the dumpling, she takes the piece that's left, pulls it out round and makes a hole in the middle. She may do 2 of them. They are swimmers for the children. When the father comes home, the children will have their swimmers and a small piece of his dumpling. The vegetables have been put in a net, locally made, always used. Potatoes, parsnips, sweet turnips, greens, all put into the net. And the whole lot is put into the boiler. It's very nourishing food. The salts from the vegetables go into the dumpling and the fat from the dumpling into the vegetables. Good and nourishing food, and they need it. For the man has been ditching all day, cleaning out the ditches, trimming up the banks. Very little else to do with the ground so soaked after the winter. He goes back after his meal. The mother picks up her platen, goes to visit old granny. Poor old girl, she's a widow, no one to look after her. She just goes in and takes the little child. The child cheers up the old girl and she'll tidy her home. May stop a little while and plait, do a ten. Then she'll go home. We'll walk on farther down the road. There's a water cart in the pond. I should suspect that's for the thrashing machine. The ducks are there, quite a lot of them, in various groups. Each belongs to various owners. When evening comes, they'll all find their way home. Here comes the wagon and horses up that muddy lane. That's a nearer way than the high road. But how muddy are the horses' legs? Ah, you wait a moment. He'll take his wagon and the carts right through the pond and wash their legs. We go a bit farther. We turn the corner. That's known as Sawpit Corner. There is evidence of a sawpit having been there. The road is sunken here. Farther on, the corner to the right, it goes along another sunken road. To the left, to Itchen, known as the new road to the older inhabitants, and the corner known as Gaila's Corner. Gaila was an old man who lived near to the corner, a maker of flatbills, flails, and various other things. Thatcher, a very clever man, and very cynical in his talk. In the meadow, there are some walnut trees, well known to the boys. We go on, we turn right again, through what is known as Town's End, till we come to the green. There, the boys are playing shinny. That's an old game. The downtowners played the uptowners on Boxing Day. But they'll soon have to finish their play, for soon as the soil is dry enough, they'll have to help their father with digging. It's getting later now. Mother is getting the evening meal ready. The bigger boy gets the firewood for morning for father to start the fire, and the bigger girl helps their mother. They still follow the old ditty. Lay the white cloth for his coming, dear mother. Set out his chair where he likes it to be. You shall stand by his side, little brother. Baby shall sit like a queen on his knee. And here comes father. He goes quietly to the pantry. The children all know, nothing said. He comes out and they have their meal. The bigger ones put the little ones to bed, and their mother just goes and tucks them in. Then she says, "What you put in the pantry, father?" Boy said, "I knew there was a rabbit in that ditch, but I had to wait until the boss was gone. I pulled it out with a briar. I soon had him. Be sure and bury the skin in the dungle. The dungle is a hole not far from the house where all uneatable stuff is thrown, and the slops. And the bones, you must burn them. children won't say anything. They're too well trained. If the farmer knew, he might even use it to discharge the man, for he considers everything on the land is his. The father, after his meal, he looks at the pigs, two pigs, one for themselves and one to pay the rent of the house. It won't exceed £4 a year, the rent. Then he tidies himself, puts on a little better coat, and goes off to the inn on the lord of the manor's estate. His house is on too. And there, it is the night when they draw for wood from the nearby wood. Each tenant has the opportunity of drawing for a lot of wood. Poles there'll be in the lot, pea sticks, bean sticks, and then the brushwood for making faggots. He draws, he gets number 10. Has a pint of beer, comes home. Well, says his wife, what lot have you? Oh, he says, 10. How are you going to get it down? Oh, he says, I ask old Fred, he'll help me, and I shall get the boss to let me have a cart, and together we'll bring it home. Then they go to bed, for it will soon be 6 o'clock in the morning. The whole of the thing of the day proves that it's not a big house. It's not money that makes love. It's pulling together to make the best they can of this little that they have. 10 shillings a week doesn't go far.
What is shinny?
It's a game very similar to hockey. The boys would get a stick with a big knob at the end, and it was hardly any rules with it other than that you must keep your side, not strike from the other side. Condensed milk tin was the usual ball that was used. And this was knocked from one goal to the other. Rather dangerous, but I never knew anyone hurt.
Yes, it sounds like a Celtic game of Shinty, isn't it? The Irish.
Well,
Irish
probably, yes.
Yes, it's instinct survival. You're also saying something about the children having their jobs to do.
Yes, the children, everyone had a task to do. In the ordinary way, the boys was to get firewood, chop and split wood to light the fire and provide enough to for their father to warm up something for his morning meal before he goes to work. That is, he must get to the farm at 6 o'clock. And so he would, if he could get the milk. Very few had it, but a few had it from the farm, perhaps a pint of skim milk, and would make a milk mess. Or it might be a water mess with milk in it. Nourishing it was, and would help him until 10 o'clock. and he would get his favour.
What's in the mess? He makes it with this bread?
Bread and sugar. Some would have pepper and salt.
Yeah, yeah. And what about beaver? What did they take the beaver?
Yes, they would mostly take bread and cheese.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, about the ducks. How did they, when they all went to the pond like that, how did one owner distinguish the ducks from the others?
On their tails, usually, or on the top of their head, where they would paint them with a certain colour.
Yeah, yeah.
Your ducks would be red. Mine might be blue. Another person's green.
Yeah. And they were trained to go to the pond.
They followed one another just as if they was a file of soldiers.
Really?
And there's a well-known saying that one old lady, when she'd finished training them at the very first and they went straight onto the water, "Ah," she says, "you're landed now."
Yes, that little song you sang, a Valentine's song, that's one I've never heard before.
Yeah, very common.
Yes, yes. Is that just from Purton or from...
I've not heard it elsewhere. I've heard two lines that a curate tried to teach my father, or the children at that time, but I could never get any more. Cold winters disappearing, the birds, the pretty birds are pairing.
And that's as much as you can remember.
That's all that didn't take.
This is an invention of the vicar, was it?
The one, it was a curate, there wasn't a vicar then.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Was it run with another parish?
Yes, Ickleford.
With Ickleford?
Yes.
And the vicar was at Ickleford?
The vicar at Ickleford, and he had a curate
who
lived mostly where Flint lives.
Oh, this one up here on the...
Yes.
Yes, did he? What about the big rectory?
Wasn't one.
There wasn't one?
No, not at that time.
Mm. Mm.
Of course, that's before my time. I'm telling you about the vicar.
This is your father's time.
Yes.
A long, long time ago. Yes. So how old was your father when he died? Because he was...
66.
Yes. I mean, he could go back into the 1840s.
His mother was 90. She'd go back. She could remember the Duke of Wellington and return from the mutiny.
Good heavens. Good
she was in London then.
Yes.
She, her mother, was one of those few that could read and write. In fact, she was chosen to teach the other children.
Yes, yes. She could move right back to the 1850s.
Yes.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
Born in 1842.
And she could remember right back into... she could remember the Duke of Wellington's death, could she?
Yes.
That's 1852, wasn't it?
She was in London at the time.
Good heavens above.
And saw the soldiers return from the mutiny.
Yes.
And she was a very intelligent person.
Mm.
Well, my father was too, but mother particularly.
Yes, yes. And she, I remember the Crimean War, quite easily, I suppose, that's all that business. Yes, yes.